Okay, we're going to be looking at James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? I'm the same way. Faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good, even the devils believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone.
Live the word. Visible faith. Know for sure that faith without deeds is dead. There's a wind blowing outside. Don't you believe it? But I can't see the trees moving. It blows an absolute gale. But when I look out, the sky is still. There's a body. Don't you believe it's alive? But it's cold. There's no pulse. There's no breathing. Here's a man who believes in God. He says he trusts him. Don't you think he'll be saved? But there is no sign of life whatsoever. The force of God's word for us tonight is faith without deeds is dead. He begins with a question. Verse 14, and the answer is kind of obvious. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? And the answer is no. No. It is useless and it cannot save you. If we claim to trust God but our lives are not impacted, that faith is useless. Question for you, do you believe that? Look at verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. As such trust, if there's no action, has no sign of life whatsoever. How does this impact you? Now, every part of me is tempted to water this down. Faith without deeds is insufficient, I might say. Faith without deeds is weak. Faith without deeds is struggling, is going through hard times, is sick. And yet James categorically states that faith without any action and any response has no life in it whatsoever. Verse 26 finishes the argument. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. How do we respond to God's word tonight? I've felt very battered by this part of God's word. Intellectually, yeah. But much more by its implications, its claim on my life. In a sense, it scares, in a sense, it excites. It scares us because it confronts us and exposes things within us which are deficient. And it also excites because I think we wouldn't have it any other way. We're reminded yet again that our Christ-centered relationship with God is not an idea, it's not a philosophy, it's not a mere worldview, but something more real, more alive, more authentic, more active. And let's pray that for each of us it will be. Let's pray. Join me. Father, be with us tonight. Thank you for giving us a record in your word. Father, open our eyes to know you and understand you more. Enable our ears to hear your word and our hearts to love it and our bodies to do what it says. Father, we pray that none of us would have a dead, lifeless faith, but awaken us a trust that is firmly in you. This we pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. There is a tension here between the words of James and the words of Paul. I've listed them on the passage here. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Very clear. It's God's gift, God's good gift. And it's not our doing, and we can't boast on the judgment day that Andrew Barry did anything in God's sight. It was Christ who saved me. Romans 3:28, I've got that written here as well. "We maintain that a man or woman is justified, as declared right before God, by faith apart from observing the law," apart from doing things in God's law. And James says, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Paul emphatically states that we are saved by faith, by trusting in God, and it is not our works. He said we are declared right before God. And James seems to be equally emphatic by saying what we do actually matters. It's good to see an issue. It's good to see there's an issue at stake. I've read some of the commentators on this, and some of them too easily dismiss, too quickly move on over this issue. And I want us to deal with this issue, to wrestle with it, and to take seriously the implications. It matters so much how we are saved. It matters so much that it'd be worth dying for. That it'd be worth saying, it is only God that saves us. It is of God, it is by God, it is all his work. And yet James says, yes, Andrew, that's right. But it also matters what you do and how you live. There is actually an inner tension, even within Paul, on exactly the same point. You see, Paul argues very emphatically in the book like Romans, like the verse we had there, that we are saved through faith in Christ. And then he spends chapters 5, 6, 7, 8 saying how we live actually matters. There is no such thing as a Romans 1 to 4 Christian without a Romans 5 to 8 Christian. There is no such thing as a Christian who is justified before God by faith, but then does not live through the Spirit of Christ. And so there's verses, and I've written down some at the bottom of the sheet, like Romans 6:12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires." And in one of his most gospel-centered, Christ alone, faith alone letters, Paul's letter to the Galatians, it contains verses like this. Galatians 5:6, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love." And he says, "Do not be deceived," Galatians 6, "God cannot be mocked. Man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Paul actually argues very strongly that it is only salvation is only found by trusting in Christ alone. But he argues, even within his lone letters, exactly the same thing as James, that how we live matters. The old saying, we're saved by faith alone, but saving faith, it's never alone. You wonder, I wonder whether James had heard. We think James was written in the first 15 years of the early church, before it even met Paul. But you wonder whether he'd heard third hand a slogan from, you know, some nitwit who, you know, kind of applied Paul in a way which meant that he didn't think that it actually had to make an effect on his life. A sort of easy believism. A sort of a Romans 1 to 4 Christian who doesn't believe in anything that happened afterwards. A person who says, it's okay, I just need to believe, I need to tick a box on a form in a census, I need to stand up at church and say I believe these things, but it actually doesn't have to impact my life. And I wonder if James is directing his word to them. You see, James holds the same two truths as Paul. Think back with me. We were James last week, weren't we? James chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, do not show favoritism. We believe, and because we believe, we must do something, and that is not show favoritism. We saw a few weeks ago, we've been born again by the Word of God. We've been implanted with the Word of God. Wisdom comes down from above, and it saves us. We're saved from God, by God. And yet James calls us to endure, to trust, to go through hard times, to express real religion, looking after orphans and widows, to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Our lives matter. He puts it together several times. Look at 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that's so prevalent and humbly accept the word which can save you. We're saved by God and we've got to live it out. And yet he also says we must listen to the word and do what it says. And yet we read on James and there's this new extra element. I call tonight visible faith. Because all throughout this chapter of James, there's this sense of the visible, of the things you can have with your senses. That faith is like the wind. And yet, you can only see the wind because you can see what the wind does around it. That faith is like, have a look with me, the visible aspects here. Chapter 2, verse 24, you see a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Verse 22, you see that his faith and actions are working together. He says earlier, show me your faith and I'll show you my deeds. There's this sense of showing and visible. In the English language, use the word you see. What does it mean? Often use the word you see. It just means I'm adding, I'm moving on in the argument. It almost can be used almost like a therefore, a summation of the things that happened before. You see a man is justified by faith alone. Look through the entire Greek New Testament. It's always used of things you actually see. And so when James says, you see that a man is justified, let's get it right. You see that his faith and his actions were working together and that his faith was made complete by what he did. It's a word for beholding. In fact, there's a different word for seeing in verse 24. One is to see, the other is to behold. And it says, you see that a person is justified by what he does. The wind is there, but you see it in the actions that it takes. The great chapter, this is for those who know the Bible, a great chapter in the Bible about the people of faith is Hebrews chapter 11. It's talking about the Old Testament. He kind of takes them for a road trip in the Old Testament. It starts off with the creation and gets as far as he can until he runs out of space. And he goes through and talks about these people who trusted God. But what's there a chapter about? It's a chapter about all the things they did. They trusted God, but they put it into action. And you can look it up later for yourself, but his treatment of Abraham and Rahab is not too dissimilar from James's treatment here. Let's have a look at it a bit more detail. Point three, know for sure that faith without deeds is useless. We're going to have a question and comment time afterwards. If my voice holds up, we'll still have it. Verse 15. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? It's a ridiculous story, really, isn't it? Someone actually comes up to you and says, I've got some starving kids. And you say, oh, God bless you. Go in peace and be well fed and pray for your little ones that they will no longer be hungry, and you do nothing about it, then it is as useless as trusting in God or saying you're trusting God without actually living it out. Verse 17 says, in the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. We trust in God. We believe that Christ died. He rose again, that our sins are forgiven, that our consciences are cleansed. We await our destiny to be like Christ. And when we put aside the shell of this body, thanks, mate. We put aside the shell of this body, we'll be transformed and raised again on the last day. I've got two coffee cups here. That's an in-joke for those who've been at church for a while. This one's real, this is just for show. We believe this, and yet if we don't let it affect us, that faith isn't real. Let me list a few areas where our trust in God lives and acts and breathes and does things in our life. In our prayers. In our hearing the word of God. In our looking after the orphans and widows. In our giving to kingdom ministry. In our thankfulness. In the way that I work tomorrow, in the conversations that I have, in the endurance and the hard times, in my love for other people, in my love for God. We are saved by the living one. We are saved to a living hope. We are saved for new life. Our faith has to be living. But what if you're struggling in the Christian life? Is faith at work if you're struggling as a Christian? I think we should be much more worried if we're not struggling. If you're struggling, it's faith that brings you to God's commandment that you trust is good and that enables you to put it into practice. And if and when you stumble, it is faith that leads you home to Christ and his blood for you. It is faith that brings you on your knees for forgiveness, and it is faith that leads you to trust the work of the Holy Spirit for you to walk in dependence. It is faith that brings you to praise God and to thank him. It's faith that enables you to examine your life more and more and bring it all under the conformity to Christ. It's faith even that enables you to see it as a struggle and as not a time to be complacent. Faith is living and active. If there is no struggle in the Christian life, there is more to be worried of. When a sin has taken hold of a person, they no longer see it as wrong. They no longer come back to Christ for forgiveness, for strength from the Holy Spirit. They say the right words at church, and they like the experience. Holding on to a theology without letting that theology hold on to them. And James chapter 2, verse 17, I want to water it down, but it says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Martin Luther was famous in his early career for claiming that this letter was an epistle of straw. He said that James actually was trying to interact with those who were lawless, who didn't want to live God's way at all. But he said it distorts the gospel. And yet, Martin Luther argues exactly the same thing as James is. Listen to one of his points in the preface in the beginning of his commentary on the book of Romans. He says about faith, "Oh, it is living, it is busy, a mighty thing, this faith. It is impossible for it not to be doing good things incessantly. It does not ask whether good things are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done this and is constantly doing them. Whoever does not do such good works, however, is an unbeliever. He gropes and looks around for faith and good works, but neither knows what faith is nor what good works are, yet he talks and talks with many words about faith and good works. And Luther's arguing exactly the same thing as the book of James, that faith without action is dead, and that faith must be living. Point four on the outline, know for sure that faith produces visible action. Show me the faith, says verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Here's all the visible language. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Verse 22 says, you see that his faith and his actions are working together. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. James brings a friend along in an argument. He's writing this letter by himself, but he brings this friend, actually not much of a friend, more of a foolish man, into his argument to talk it through. And he's saying this opponent is saying, you've got faith, I've got deeds. You're a believing Christian, I'm a doing Christian. You can have the separate, you can have the confessing Christian with a good theology, and you can have the practical Christian with no understanding of God whatsoever and no faith in him. And James is saying, you can't have faith which doesn't express itself in deeds. And you can look elsewhere in the Bible and it says, deeds are nothing without faith. Here's the thing. You can't show faith without deeds. You can't show that the body's alive unless there's a pulse. You can't see faith, but real faith produces deeds. And so how do you know someone trusts God? The decisions they make. The way that they live out the life. The way that it actually seems to grab them. I can't see the faith, but I can see that it must be in there because they're living a life for God. The thing that excites me most, and I know excites many of us in church, is not what people say they will do for Christ. That's not as exciting as seeing what people actually do for Christ. When you see people endure for his sake, when you see them make decisions of godliness, when you see them make decisions for the advancement of his kingdom, when you see them express love to each other, even here at church, know for sure that faith produces visible deeds. Well, here's faith without deeds, verse 19. You believe there's one God, good, even the demons believe that and shudder. There's faith without deeds. Point made. Point heard. Good. See. Evidence from the past. Just like Hebrews 11 shows you where we see people's faith by what they do. They're saved by God and that salvation produces action. James has the Old Testament. He picks two examples of classic trust in God and classic action as a result of that living and active faith. James 2:20, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? The whole Old Testament. He picks two examples. Abraham. Abraham did not tick on the box that he was a Jew in the census form and then didn't let that not affect his rest of his life. Abraham didn't pass a theology exam and then did whatever he wanted with the rest of his life. Abraham was taken to the point of testing whether he really trusted God, and he was shown to be true, and he did trust God because his faith acted and lived. It was not dead. Verse 2:21. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and that his faith was made complete by what he did, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Abraham was without child, he was old. God had promised that he would make his descendants into a great nation. Get this right. Before he even had a child, Abraham believed God. Genesis 15, you can read it later. And it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God before he even had a child in his old age. And yet Abraham believed God, he trusted him, and he didn't stop there. Because he believed the one who gave him a child. And eventually he has Isaac, his only son with his wife. And God asks him to offer Isaac on the altar. Remember reading that with my firstborn son? They're holding his hand at bedtime. And he, that God offered, said, take your son, your only son, the son you love. Anyway, God provides a ram in his son's place. But Abraham showed that he trusted that God would somehow do the right thing in the situation. That somehow God would provide. If Abraham had not followed God, if he'd not stood firm during the testing of his faith, if he didn't care at all about what God said, then it would be clear that his trust in God wasn't real. 21. Was it not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Yeah. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and that his faith was made complete by what he did. Notice the visual language. You see his faith. You see his actions. They're working together in this story. And the scripture is fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. He was called God's friend. What was said in chapter 16 before Abraham was taken through the trials of many kinds was now fulfilled. And he endured, and now, for those who were here the first week, would receive the crown of life for those whose trust is real and true in God. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Visual again, you see that they're in right standing with God, that their faith is real by what they have done, not merely the faith they claim to have, not what they tick on the census form. The medal of Abraham's faith was tested and proven genuine. And Rahab, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute. This is a couple hundred years later. Considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. She was a prostitute in Jericho, and the Israelites were approaching as a great army out of Egypt. You know, the Exodus. And she'd heard of what God had done and the way he'd been with the Israelites. She kept the spies and sent them off, and her and her family were saved, and they became incorporated into the community of Israel. Notice the key word here, even Rahab. She did not save her life by her morality. It is a gift of God. She had nothing to boast in. She just trusted in God. But her trust was real. She was not pulling herself up into relationship with God with her own moral bootstraps. She probably knew that she'd made a mess of her life, and in spite of this, maybe even because of this, she knew that something about God, and she trusted him. And that faith was living and resulted in action. How else could she have responded? I believe in God. See you guys. I'm just trying to think what the equivalent of be warm and well fed is, you know. Go off, God be with you. No, she hid the spies and sent them off. Even the decision to follow Christ and give up everything for him is faith working its way through every part of our lives. I've got something to say in conclusion, but there might be a comment or a question about anything I've said. Ping on. How do we know what we have done or are doing is enough? I think the point is that if there's no deeds at all, the faith is dead. I suppose this is the chapter of the Bible to look at for either a real shake-up or real excitement about this idea of living faith. But I think those of us who do trust in Christ, we might not think of it, we've actually done countless things that faith has just produced. Our decisions to trust God through the hard times. We've got this far. God's brought us so far. The way that we actually do want to praise God, we want to thank God. We come back to, as I said before, come back to Him for the blood. There's no way that you can turn this James passage around as a ground for boasting, though. It doesn't even enter into that kind of debate about boasting. It's not about boasting. Rahab couldn't boast. I mean, Abraham could just say, "I've just done what God said," you know. "I've just trusted God." And so I think what we need to do is realize that it's God that saves us. We need to realize that faith within us has to be living and active. Right? It has to. Who thinks? Yeah. Comments? Questions? Does this passage have anything to say about doing the right thing for the wrong reason? I'm not sure this passage does, but I might take it if you just look up the Hebrews chapter 11, which I've looked at as well. I've talked about as well. Haven't really turned to. Hebrews is the book just before James. It's just a few pages away. Hebrews 11 verse 6, I think it's got a really good point on this. He says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because we must believe that He exists and He rewards those who seek Him." And so the very first way we can even please God is through, it's all through faith. We're saved through faith. We can only do good works through faith. It can only happen through faith. So there's no way that Rahab could somehow, just somehow impress God. She can only start pleasing Him if she trusts Him. She's saved, yeah. That's good. Well, just like we've got to humbly accept the word that's implanted in us, and the thing that produces this must be a living faith that produces deeds. The whole thing is not a discussion about how do I get saved. The whole thing is a discussion about what's real faith. Real faith is that which produces, that which acts, that which lives, that which invigorates. Yeah, Ed. I think it could very easily be judgmentalism. The question Ed asking is what do you do if someone doesn't show signs of action or fruit from their faith? Is this a passage you take them to? I think you've got to be careful. You don't set the mark. You know, what matters? I mean, we've all set marks, and it's like my level of godliness is here, and I'm so tempted to set a level of godliness just below mine. And so, if anyone else is not living up to my standards, then I will do that. And so, I think that's a very dangerous thing. I think it's appropriate to show that faith must be living and active. And so, I think it's the kind of passage to show someone if they just are. This is a passage to take a sort of. This is a passage against nominal Christianity. I mean, that's what it's really about. It's about this belief. You just say, "I believe. I'm a Christian." You know, I'm Australian, I'm a Christian, I'm American, I'm a Christian, whatever it is. It doesn't actually make a difference. You don't come to Jesus for forgiveness. You don't even seem to, you know, it doesn't affect you at all. And so I think it's that kind of. I'm going to make two statements. Humans are animals. Humans are not animals, which is true. I've probably said both of them at the same, you know, I've probably said them both of them at different times. Does that mean I contradict myself? No. What I mean is, we are animals in that we meet a certain set of criteria for what it is to be an animal. I mean, we're not animals in that we are human beings. We are set by God above and over and beyond animals. Faith alone saves you. There's no such thing as faith alone. Am I contradicting myself? In exactly the same way, no. Faith alone saves you. It is all a work of God. Christ has done it for us. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves and what we cannot boast before Him. But there is no such thing as faith alone. Faith that is real is alive within us. The big message. Verse Verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. What does God's word have to say to us tonight? We need living, active, authentic faith. Faith is a living, busy, mighty thing, this faith. It's impossible for it not to be doing good incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done this and is constantly doing them. Live the word. Don't tick the box. Don't just say the confession. But really trust in God. Let's pray. Father, for many of us who have to this moment been merely listening to your word, sorry, for any of us who have to this moment been merely listening to your word and not putting it to practice, we ask you to forgive us. Give us life. Give our faith life. Plant in us the word of God which can save us. Make our trust in God grow to be one that is busy, active, seeking good, doing good. Father, enliven within us a trust in our prayers, in the way we hear God's word, in the way we look after orphans and widows, in our giving to kingdom ministry, in our thankfulness, in the way that I work tomorrow, in the conversations that I have, in our enduring the hard times, in our love for other people, and in our love for you, Lord God. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.